I'm going to tell a story this evening, and the story that I'm going to tell is not one that I've made up. It's a story that comes from this book, the Bible. The Bible is one book, but there are lots of books within the one book. In fact, there are 66 books, and tonight we're going to look at a story from the second book in the Bible called Exodus. Now, the story takes place in a land called Egypt. Peter, can we have the first picture up on the screen, please? And the ruler of Egypt was this man. Can anybody tell me what he was called? Yes. He was called Pharaoh. That's exactly right. And he was basically the king, and what he said went. Now, at this time, we'll have the second picture, please. There were some people living in Egypt, but at a particular sort of location, a place called Goshen. And you can see them here, camp. Can anybody tell me who it was that lived here? It was the Israelites. That's exactly right. And the Israelites were no ordinary people. They were the people of God. They were special to God. Sometimes in the Bible they're referred to as God's children. Now, the Egyptians were wicked people, and especially Pharaoh. In fact, he was the worst of them all. And on one occasion, Pharaoh saw to it that all the little baby boys were put to death. The baby boys, that is, of the Israelites. You see, the Israelites were growing in number. And Pharaoh was a bit concerned that they might get too big and prove a problem for him. So he decided that he was going to put all the little baby boys to death. But there was one mum who was very concerned to make sure that her baby lived. We'll have the next picture. And she organized for her little baby to be put into a basket, and she hid her baby amongst the bulrushes, as you can see in this picture. Can anybody tell me the name of the baby? What was the name of the baby, Peter? It was Moses, yeah, and Moses would grow up to be a very important person. But there was somebody who saw the basket and the baby. Can you tell me anybody who that was? Yes, Jane. It was the daughter of Pharaoh. And we've got another picture here to illustrate this. And you might have thought that this would be the end for little baby Moses, but it wasn't, because this lady was concerned that Moses didn't die and that he was able to grow up. But this was what Pharaoh was like. He was determined to kill all the little baby boys in Israel, or amongst the Israelites, I should say. But not only that, if we can have the next picture, we will see that Pharaoh made the Israelites worked really hard. In fact, he employed them as his slaves. They had to work really hard in order to make these straw bricks. You can see the straw, can't you, in the background there? And these bricks were used so that Pharaoh could build some large and impressive buildings. But when they didn't work hard enough, this is what happened to them. They were beaten. They were ill-treated. Pharaoh was a wicked ruler. But not only did he kill the baby boys of the Israelites and treat the Israelites harshly, he worshipped false gods. Gods that weren't really gods at all. The god of the Nile. The sun god. He even thought that he was a son of one of these gods. He refused to acknowledge the true God, the God of Israel. But God had a plan. And God's plan was to bring certain punishments or certain judgments upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And the idea was to get Pharaoh to let the Israelites leave the land of Egypt so that he could lead them to a land that they could call their own, a land that the Bible calls the Promised Land or the Land of Canaan. And so God, we'll have the next picture, and the next one, raised up this man Moses. This is the Moses that was to be found in the little basket. But in this picture, he's grown up. God raised up this man Moses to work through and to be a leader of the people of Israel and to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Now, God determined to bring, as I say, a number of punishments or judgments upon the Egyptians, what we might call plagues. And there are quite a lot of them, and I want to talk you through them now, and I want to see if you can help me as I endeavour to do this. The first plague, and we'll have the picture, was the plague of blood. Through Egypt, you see, that there was a massive, great big river. It was called the Nile. It was a very important river because it enabled everything in the region to grow. But God turned this river into what? He turned it into what? Yes. Into blood. And you can see that, can't you, beginning to happen in this picture. And everything in the Nile died. All the fish died. The hope was that Pharaoh would then let the Israelites go, but he refused to let them go. So God brought a second plague upon the Egyptians. And we'll have the next picture. And you can see, can't you, what the next plague was? It was the plague of frogs. They jumped out of the Nile and they were to be found everywhere. Can you imagine what the land of Egypt must have sounded like? Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. You know, these ribbit sounds must have been everywhere, and how annoying it must have been for the people. And the hope was that Pharaoh would let the Israelites leave the land. But Pharaoh was still unwilling to let the people go. And so God brought a third plague upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Can any of you tell me what this plague amounted to? Perhaps this question is not quite so easy. Any ideas? Not sure. Yes, one have a go. That's a good try, but it's not the answer. A bit smaller than that. Yes, Danny. Well, that's a good try. And it is difficult to know exactly what the Bible is saying, but it's not the word that I've got in my Bible yet. Well, sort of. I'll give you the answer. Gnats, all right? And they were everywhere. And they were getting on people, and they were just awful. And the hope was that Pharaoh would let the Israelites go. But he hardened that heart of his, and he would not let them go. And so God brought another plague upon the Egyptians, a fourth plague. We'll have the next picture. Now, if you look carefully, you can see what the fourth plague amounted to. Can anyone tell me what it amounted to? Look carefully, because these little things have got wings. They're really annoying when they come into your house. They're really annoying if they fly around you when you're riding your bike down the road. Yes. Flies. That's exactly right. Yeah, the plague of flies. And these flies were everywhere. And the hope was that Pharaoh would let the Israelites go, but no, he refused to do so. And so God brought another plague or another judgment upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Well, next picture, please, up on the screen. And this is the plague on the livestock. And as a result of this plague, horses and donkeys and camels and sheep and goats all died. Now you would have thought, wouldn't you, at this particular point, that Pharaoh might have come to his senses and just let these Israelites go. But no, he didn't want them to go. You see, he wanted them to carry on making bricks so that he could build his nice, big, impressive-looking buildings. He continued to refuse to let them go. And so God brought a sixth plague upon the Egyptians. And we'll have the next picture. And I would encourage you to look carefully to see if you can tell what the plague was. Any ideas? Look at the people's skin. Yes, Charlotte. It's the plague of boils. And it must have been ever so painful and uncomfortable for the people who suffered with these boils. And I say the hope was that Pharaoh would let the Israelites go, but no, he still refused to do so. And so, you've guessed it, God sent another plague upon the land. Can you tell what that plague is? Yeah, hailstones. The plague of hail. Now, if you're out when the hail falls, it's not particularly pleasant, is it? It hurts your face, it hurts your hands if they're exposed. In some countries, I'm told around the world, that there are hailstones that fall to the ground that are like golf balls. Can you imagine what a golf ball does to a car when it hits it? You know, it seriously dents it, doesn't it? And if a hailstone like that hit you when you were out in the field, it would probably do you a serious injury. I don't know how big the hailstones were, but they fell and they destroyed all kinds of things that were outside in the open. Livestock and plants and so on and so forth. But Pharaoh still would not let the people go. And so God sent an eighth plague. We'll have the next picture. And now someone has already given us the answer for this one, but Daniel's keen to give it. So what are you going to say it amounts to, Daniel? The plague of locusts, that's exactly right. And I don't think this is a particularly good picture because the locusts would have completely covered the ground. And these locusts, well, they like to eat the green stuff. And you know, these locusts, they just stripped the land of everything that was left. They just ate all the crops. They ate all the green stuff. But still, Pharaoh would not let God's people go. And so God sent a ninth punishment, a ninth plague. Now, can anybody tell me what this one is? Come on then, James. It was the plague of darkness. Now, a big well done for anybody who can tell me what the problem is with this picture. Because there's something not right about this picture. Josh. Ah, very good. That's the answer that I want. It's too light, isn't it? This judgment lasted for 3 days. And we're told in the Bible that people stayed inside their houses because it was so dark that they daren't venture out. You couldn't see anything. You know, they didn't have street lights like we have today. It was pitch black. You couldn't see beyond the end of your nose. If you put your hand up, you couldn't see it. It was a terrible judgment that came upon the Egyptians. Can anybody guess what Pharaoh did? Can anybody guess what Pharaoh did? Go on. He still carried on. Is that what you were going to say, Daniel? He still refused to let Moses and the Israelites leave the land of Egypt. Oh dear, Pharaoh didn't see sense, did he? There's one thing I think that I probably ought to say at this point, and it's this. that these judgments came upon the Egyptians that were living in Egypt, but they didn't come upon God's people. They didn't come upon the Israelites, because God wanted to make a distinction between the two groups of people. Well, I think I'll leave it there. That's the first part of the story. I want to come back in a minute and tell you the second part of the story. But before I do finish altogether, let me just sum up. And as I do so, I'll see if you've got the story. Where was the story located? Where does it all happen? Amazing. In Egypt. And who was the ruler in Egypt? Daniel? It was Pharaoh. Good lad. And what other people are part of the story? They lived in a land called Goshen. Yes. Moses and the Israelites. That's right. And why did God bring these plagues or these judgments upon the Egyptians? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Now that's a really important question. Why did he do that? I did tell you. Because Pharaoh and the Egyptians were... Because they were not letting his people go, yes, but because they were wicked. Because they were sinful. Because they had done wrong things or bad things. I mean, God doesn't like punishing people. But God, because of who he is, does punish the wicked. That's why Pharaoh and the Egyptians were punished. Thank you, John. Do any of you recognize any of those people? What about the one up the top on the left-hand side? I don't think the older people will know, but what about some of the young people? What's his name? Nicola thinks she knows. Pardon? No, good try. Oh, who said that? John. Was that what you were going to say, Jacob? No. Dr. Evil. Yeah, that's right. What about this gentleman on the bottom left-hand side? Ben knows. Naomi knows. Are you sure you know? Who do you think it is? Yes, he did. You're right. He bit someone's ear off. Okay, come on then, Ben. It's Mike Tyson. Yeah, Mike Tyson was a heavyweight boxer. Not a particularly nice character, as my daughter has said. He bit a bit of someone's ear off once in a fight, and he also did some time in prison as well. What about the gentleman on the right-hand side? Lots of hands are going up. The reason for that, of course, is that at schools, some of these youngsters have been looking at the Second World War. That's why they know. Come on then, Jacob, you give me the answer to this one. It's Adolf Hitler. And he was the leader of the German nation, wasn't he, at the time of the Second World War. And this man killed lots of innocent people. And so he wasn't a particularly nice man. Now, can anybody give me a word that would sort of sum up these people? Just one word to sum up these people. What word would you use? Daniel. Nasty. Good word. Yeah? Has anybody got another word? Harry. Evil. Yeah. Another word? Lost. Villains. Violent. Ugly. The sort of word that I was looking for... was the word evil, but I'd have been happy to have taken the word bad, or the Bible word sinful. Let's have the next picture, and I'll talk about some of these people. Here on the top left-hand side, we've got a bishop, a man of the church, we've got a policeman, All right? We've got a nurse, we've got a lady who's shown great interest in the poor and needy, and we've got a school teacher. Now, before you answer this question, I don't want anything inappropriate said at this point, okay? I don't want anything unkind said, mindful of the fact that we have two policemen here tonight. How might we sum up these people? What do you think is the kind of word that I'm looking for, Jacob? Helpful, okay, good. Another word? Caring, okay, thank you. Another word? I'll keep going until I get the one that I'm really looking for. Sorry? Serving, okay. Harry. Dedicated, yeah, all those words would be right. But I think a lot of people would look at these sorts of people and they would say almost immediately, these people are good. These people are nice people. They're good people. They're not evil people. Well, it's true that these people do lots of good things and help people out in lots of different ways. But, you know, and it's important that we grasp this, that before God, who is holy, these people aren't good. Actually, they're sinful. You see, God's standards are way up there. And it doesn't matter how hard a person tries, they always fail to come up to God's standard. Actually, the Bible is very clear when it says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standard. Actually, the Bible says that none of us are good in the sight of God. Now, that's a really important thing for us all to remember. Now, I'm going to carry on with the story. There were lots of judgments, weren't there, that came upon the Egyptians. But God was about to bring another judgment upon the land. A terrible judgment. The worst judgment of all. The previous ones were bad enough, but this was going to be the most terrible of all. Can anyone tell me what God was going to do this time? Come on, James. That's right. He was going to kill or put to death all the firstborn males in every family. And not just human families, but also animal families. One night, the angel of death was going to pass through the land, and every firstborn male would be struck down. A terrible thing would happen. The firstborn son of Pharaoh would die. The firstborn son of the slave girl or of the prisoner would die. This was a terrible thing. But let's come back to what we were thinking about a moment or two ago. You see, we've noted, haven't we, this evening, that Pharaoh and the Egyptians were bad people. They did lots of really wicked things. But you know something? The Israelites were sinful too. Because everybody sins. Everybody does wrong in the sight of God. And the Israelites deserved to be judged, to be punished for their sin as well. But what would the Israelites do? Well, there's a good bit about this story, because God was going to make it possible for the Israelites to be saved from punishment if they trusted in him. God said to Moses, who said to the people, we'll have the next picture, that they were to kill lambs or goats. They were to slay them. They were to sacrifice them. Next picture. And the blood from these lambs was to be put on the doorposts with a hyssop plant on the sides of the doors and on the tops of the doors. This was to be done at every home within the Israelite camp. And then, having put the blood on the doorposts, the Israelite families were to go indoors. We'll have the next picture, please, Peter. And they were to roast these lambs and eat them. They were also to eat bread made without yeast and bitter herbs. Now, when the angel of death passed through the land, lots of firstborn males died. All the firstborn males amongst the Egyptians died. And there was crying, there was wailing throughout Egypt. We'll have the next picture so that we can get a bit of an idea of what it must have been like. Weeping, crying, this was a terrible thing. But you know, none of the firstborn males amongst the Israelites died. Shall I tell you why? Because a lamb died in their place. None of the Israelite families suffered because the families were, as it were, hiding behind the blood of the lamb. They were covered by the blood of the lamb. Well, you know, it was such a terrible thing, and we'll have the next picture, that Pharaoh said, I don't want these Israelites in the land of Egypt anymore. I don't want this God of the Israelites to bring any more judgments upon me and my people. He's too powerful. He's too great for us. Let this God and the Israelites leave our land. And so he let them go. And we can see them leaving in the next picture. And there were many of them, many of them. And they left with all their belongings and all their animals. God punished the Egyptians, but he saved his own people and brought them out of slavery in Egypt in order that in due time he might lead them to a land of their own, the promised land, the land of Canaan. God did it. He did it by his mighty power. Now, I'm nearly finished, but before we finish, I would like everybody to pick up one of the church Bibles, if at all possible, and I would like you to turn to page 1207. Page 1207, and we're going to read one verse, Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 27. Just verse 27. In fact, would somebody, once they've found it, like to stand up, please, and read this verse out loud for us? I don't mind who it is. I don't mind whether you're young or old. But I'd like someone to stand up and in a loud voice to read it out. Verse 27 of Hebrews and chapter 9. The first word is the word just. Keith, thank you. Verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Yeah, thank you. God brought his judgment upon the Egyptians many, many years ago. But I've got some rather solemn news to make known this evening, and it's this, that one day this same Almighty God is going to bring his judgment upon sinners. Now, that's a bit of a scary thought, really, because the Bible says, as we've already thought about this evening, says that everybody is a sinner. Now, I don't want to face God's judgment. And I'm sure that you don't want to face God's judgment. But just as God provided a way of salvation for the families of Israel, so God provides us with a means of being saved. The Israelites were saved by the Passover lamb. Well, we too are saved by an even more wonderful Passover lamb. Can anybody tell me the name of the Passover lamb? Yes. It's Jesus. And I think we've got one more picture, haven't we, Peter, on the screen? Oh, that's the people leaving. One more picture. A picture of Jesus dying upon the cross. Jesus died upon the cross, and there upon the cross, he shed his precious blood. The Lamb of God, who shed his precious blood upon the cross. The Lamb of God who died in our place so that we might escape the final judgment of God. Do you know what we need to do? We need to put ourselves under the blood of Jesus. Do you remember the Israelite families? They had to put themselves, didn't they, under the blood of the Passover lamb. They did that by hiding in their houses and remaining in their houses whilst the angel of death passed through. How do we cover ourselves with the blood of the Lord Jesus? How do we hide under the blood of the Lord Jesus? Jesus, you see, died 2,000 years ago upon the cross. How do we do it? Shall I tell you how we do it? And it really is very simple. We simply trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We believe that he died upon the cross to take the punishment for our sin so that we need not fear the coming day of God's punishment, the coming day of God's judgment upon sinners. That's fairly simple, isn't it? We just trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And you know, when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, not only are we covered by his blood, but we're set free from the power of sin, or from slavery to sin, so that we might live for God. And if we continue to follow Jesus, one day he's going to lead us to the promised land. The promised land of heaven itself. Some of you have come this evening for the first time, but I hope, perhaps in some small way, that you can see why we sing a lot about the Lord Jesus. You see, we believe that he died upon a cross in order to save us from our sins, to save us from the coming judgment. We've got nothing to fear. A wonderful thing to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want others to trust in him too. And maybe if you don't yet trust in him, you will in due time come to trust in him. Perhaps it will be tonight, I don't know. I hope that it might. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we thank you for these great stories in the Old Testament, and we thank you for all that we've learned tonight. As John prayed a little bit earlier on in our service, help us, Lord, to understand and be ready to live in the light of all that you have said to us. Hear our prayer, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.